comments?
Dr. Tony.
Many people say mesothelioma by their cancer, and also many people say diagnosis difficult. That means it may be more mesothelioma patients than just misdiagnosis.
Correct. Yeah. No, I mean that's been a problem all along in the days in the past when histochemical stains weren't very well developed. People would die from quote unquote lung cancer, and oftentimes it may have been mesothelioma. So it certainly is underestimated. But no matter how you look at it, even if we double the number of cancers from 3,000 to 6,000, that's still a very small number of cancers compared to 1.6 some million new cancers every year. So it's a rare cancer, but doesn't mean we shouldn't cure it.
Is any, yes,
how many, patient is actually mesothelioma?
I mean, you look worldwide, it's hard to know, because if you look at what's going on in some areas of the world, United States, by the way, has not banned asbestos. So we still import. In fact, the imports of asbestos went up last year. So we have not banned asbestos, so it's still around. We're still using it. In my office, I have this nice little gasket that I bought down in the local hardware store. That was a third of it was asbestos. So you can buy it at your local garden shop, basically. So it's going to be around for a while. There are some countries like India and other places where people are using a ton of asbestos, and they're not using any protection. And so worldwide, probably instances go up for some time because there just aren't protections for people. And unfortunately, the United States just can't seem to get it that we should have banned asbestos a long time ago, like about 70 other countries. But I guess now, Trump says that we don't. It's all a hoax. It's just fake news. So.
So maybe not rare cancer.
Huh?
Not rare cancer, maybe.
So it's not gonna. Yeah, it may not be a rare cancer for long. Who knows? And Australia and the UK are the places where the highest incidence per capita is partly because of the type of asbestos is so potent. So yes.
With new patients, what kind of barriers do you have, and what kind of barriers do the new patients report to you in getting them to your clinic for evaluation and treatment?
Well, there's technical issues. One of the things that I've been amazed at is that the U.S. government mandate to have electronic medical records has actually kind of backfired in many ways, in that we now, if we get a patient that comes in, they bring their medical records, and there's 1,500 pages of them instead of before, and there might have been 70. So now we have to look theoretically through 1,500 pages and find the little pieces of information that we need to find, and it's just really a bad system. So that's kind of a technical issue with finding the information. But in general, I think the problem that we actually noted and looked at in our numbers of people that come here is that in 2004, March of 2004, when the FDA approved cisplatin and pemetrexed, and then right after that, we saw a drop in our numbers for a while because now all the community oncologists can just treat mesothelioma. And so instead of still referring them to a center where there can be some kind of research program, there can be some kind of thought behind what you give, everybody and their mother could just give chemotherapy. I don't mean that disrespectful, but I should have counted the number of CDs I got from ASCO about this is the, and from Eli Lilly, about this is the new standard for mesothelioma patients is cisplatin pemetrexed. So if you get inundated with that, you guess what you're going to do instead of maybe thinking there are other things down the line. So then we started seeing people, on average, our new patient visits were about 9 months after their initial symptom onset. So we were kind of already down towards the end of the road.
Just to add to your comment, your question of the barriers is also insurance as well. Especially our Kaiser patient, they don't approve seeing Dr. Kamen for consultation because it's hard for them to get all that referral and authorizations. And
yeah, insurance in California in particular is a little bit difficult. There are lots of HMOs, and they basically see the literature as showing chemotherapy is the only treatment that's been shown in randomized trials, so they kind of drag their feet on everything else. Even chemotherapy, they'll drag their feet forever. There's some personal biases that we see from oncologists and surgeons elsewhere. They say that nothing can be done, and that's what people are told. Instead of at least, you know, being realistic and say, listen, there's nothing that I know of right here, but maybe you can find a research center that can help you be treated with some kind of new therapies and stuff like that. And then going through some kind of process to find those recommendations for your patient. There's only one oncologist that I know in West LA who, well, no matter what the diagnosis is, he'll research it, he'll find somebody within the world, call him up and find out what the best treatment is, and he'll tell his patient that's what you should do. Or that's where you should go. And, you know, I think pretty much everybody should be like him. And if you find somebody that has a rare disease, instead of just saying, well, I don't know, there's nothing I know of to do, you can go find something where they can do. And it's unfortunately, time is always an issue. If you're seeing patients every 15 minutes, it's hard to take out an extra 10 minutes to do some research to figure that out. Anybody else have anything to add about the access issue?
Two questions, one of the audience. How many of you are either MISO patients or relative of a MISO patient? Okay. And the question I have for you, Dr. Cameron, is, and I missed that this morning, was in this whole decortication process?
Yes.
Have I got that right?
Yes.
You have to make a decision at what point to do that. This is a two-part question. One, how do you measure? And two, how do you determine what point it's worthwhile doing a decortication?
That's about a whole nother day talk.
Okay, I'll let you go then.
It's a complex question. There are no real answers to that. There's a lot of opinion and some people, like I said, don't believe in doing surgery at all. And, you know, hopefully the MARS 2 trial will help kind of tease some of that out, although I don't necessarily totally agree with the protocol they came up with as a way to do that. But, you know, they hopefully will at least give us some indication of whether surgery is beneficial, at least in that context. So it's a difficult question. Nobody has the right answer, and we're gonna still work on it and try and figure it out. Yes?
I wonder if you could comment on how much, because of the minimal amount of people who have SMA, should the care and maybe the clinical trials and experimental trials, could it be or is it centralized? Is it feasible to say, okay, we're going to have two mesothelioma centers in the country and all the patients are going to go to those two centers? So we actually have decent clinical trials with enough patients. Is that a feasible idea?
I think it is when you have a universal healthcare system, and there isn't necessarily, you know, an impetus for every center to do your own thing. In the U.S., there's incredible reluctance on physicians, even in the smallest community hospitals, to send somebody out because they want to keep the patient care there. That's how they make their money. You know, that's how we all make our money. So you have to take care of patients, so they don't usually want to send them out. And one of the other faculty emeritus professors at UCLA always likes to tell a story about when he happened to be in independent practice down in the South Bay from here, just a little ways from here, and he saw a patient that had a really difficult problem, and he wanted to send that patient to UCLA, where he was also a professor, but he wanted to send the patient to UCLA, and the local physician said, oh no, you got to take care of the patient here. So there's a lot of resistance to sending people out. In other places, like in Canada, I was there for a number of months when I trained in Toronto, and you know, in Toronto there were only two hospitals that did thoracic surgery, so there wasn't a lot of fighting about, oh, I want to do it at my place, I want to do it at my place. There was just Sinai and Toronto General. So basically, you know, there wasn't a lot of fighting over the rare things like tracheal stenosis and mesothelioma and lung transplants. Those were all just basically done there, and other places wouldn't do them. In New York, there's a system of certificate of needs for centers that want to do transplantations. You can't just start up your own transplantation program. You can't just start doing lung transplant. You have to get a certificate of need from the state government in order to do that. So there's, I think that's not a bad system. If you can show there's a need, then sure, you can start up a program, but you can't just do it because you want to. So that would, might be a reasonable thing to do, but it's, you know, the regulation of the healthcare industry in the U.S. is not looked on favorably, particularly by the current government. So I don't think that's going to happen. But in other countries, I don't know, in Australia, I don't think people fight over seeing mesothelioma patients, too, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, and there are not enough oncologists to go around, so people in the private sector are perfectly happy looking after colon cancer and lung cancer and breast cancer, so happy to refer on people with rarer cancers to centres of excellence. You know, it's going to be completely different in Europe again, presumably.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's just, unfortunately, it's just a system. It's hard to change the system, and there's all kinds of reasons for people wanting to keep people close to home. But the right thing would be to have centers. Now, it's interesting, within the VA system, where I also have a practice, there's basically two centers in the country that do mesothelioma. It's Boston and LA here. So we're the only two centers that have a designation of center of excellence within the VA system. Despite that, we can't get physicians from other VAs to just put in a consult. It doesn't cost them a thing to put in a consult. We are contacted by patients. We have to call the physician and say, can you please put in a consult so that patient can come and see us? And they basically won't do it. I don't understand that. There's no financial benefit. There's nothing. It is that they don't want to do it. So I have no idea what goes on in the minds of people who just don't want to refer somebody to a place where they want to go and can take care of them. It's hard to know. Any other comments? Thanks for everybody for coming. Can you please fill out the evaluation forms, because it really helps as we go over that every year. So it'd be really helpful if you can do that. And hopefully we'll see almost see you next year, not all of you. We're fighting, we're trying.